Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God.
So hey everybody, turn up your radio. Listen to your soul cry the question why song makes you wonderful. Something you never seen before.
Pastor Brian is currently teaching from the book of Philippians and will be continuing today with part one of To Live as Christ, To Die as Gain. So let's turn in our Bibles to Philippians chapter 1, verse 19, as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
So as we pick up, remember Paul is, of course, writing to this church in Philippi that he was very, very close to. It was a church that he had essentially planted, or, you know, he established the church. And from the very early days, there was this bond that had developed between him and these Christians. And so as Paul would go on from city to city and take the gospel to these different regions, they were with him, praying for him. They were financially supporting him. And there was just this beautiful relationship that existed between Paul and the Philippian believers. And then what happened is Paul was arrested, and he ended up in prison in Rome. And they, of course, became aware of this, and they were deeply concerned for Paul. They were worried about him. They were distressed over all of this. So in writing this letter to them in the early chapters here, Paul is talking to them about all the things that they're worried about and all the things that he's experiencing currently. And remember, as we looked previously, Paul says, essentially says, listen, I know it looks bad, but it's not as bad as you think. Because the things that have happened to me, this imprisonment, he said, this has actually turned out for the advancement of the gospel. God is using this, and people that would not have heard the gospel are hearing it. Namely, in this case, it was the elite Praetorian Guard that kept watch over the emperor. And so here Paul, he tells the Philippians, he says, look, there's this great thing that's happening. Don't worry about it. God is, he's answering your prayers. I'm praying for you, you're praying for me, and this is what the Lord's doing. And even though there are people that are trying to discourage me, even in as I'm here in prison, there are false teachers out there with the wrong motive who are preaching the gospel, and they think that this is adding more affliction to my chains because I know that they're not sincere. Paul says, you know what? That doesn't even bother me. He said, I'm just going to rejoice in the fact that Christ is preached and leave these other people and their motives, whatever. He's just leaving that in God's hands. And so that's what he's been saying to them. And then as we pick up, he says, for I know that this current situation is what he's referring to here, that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. So Paul says, look, I know you're praying for me, and I just have this confidence. Paul had just this sense. He wasn't absolutely certain, but he had this sense that the Lord was going to deliver him from the imprisonment. And historically, we know that that did indeed happen. Paul was arrested, you remember, in Jerusalem. He spent some time in jail in Caesarea. He was eventually sent to Rome and imprisoned there. But there was a point when he was released from that imprisonment in Rome. He would be arrested again later, and he would ultimately be executed by Caesar Nero at the time. But he did sense that there was going to be a deliverance, and that is ultimately what happened. But he tells them, I know this situation's going to turn out okay. And he attributes that to their prayer and to the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. You know, we can't underestimate how important it is to pray for things, to pray for people. And this is the means that God uses so often to see things accomplished. We don't really understand it. You know, it's not one of those things that you can sit down and necessarily totally figure it out. We pray because God tells us to pray. And he tells us that through our prayers, things will happen. Things will be accomplished. And so even though we can't maybe, you know, figure out exactly how this is working, just by faith, we do it. And we trust that God is hearing our prayers and that he is working. And Paul knows that the prayers of these Philippians, they're being effective. He senses in his heart that the Lord's going to get him out of this situation. I can think of so many times where I've been praying for things. And, you know, sometimes you can pray for things for long periods of time and it just seems like nothing's happening. And, you know, you're like, Lord, are you hearing me? And then, you know, sometimes you're like, Lord, I mean, what am I even praying for? It doesn't seem like anything ever changes. It doesn't seem like there is any answers coming forth. But then, you know, for me, and maybe for you as well, the Lord will just suddenly do something. And it will be that fresh reminder that, listen, I hear your prayers. I am at work. I know I'm not working according to your schedule, but don't worry about that, because my plan's better than yours. And just this week, I had a great little answer to prayer. I won't share the details about it, but I've been praying for something very specifically. And just this week, all of a sudden, that exact thing, and it was one of those things in my mind, I wasn't sure if it was the right way to pray, and you know, I couldn't necessarily see how it could even happen, but it happened just exactly the way I was praying. And so I got news that this thing had transpired, and I just thought, thank you, Lord. That is a direct answer to prayer. And so you know what that does? That encourages me to keep praying about the other things that haven't been answered yet. It's one of those little things that just reminds you, it's like, hey, I'm listening to you. Don't worry that it hasn't come to pass yet. Just be faithful. Just keep praying. Just keep asking. Just keep calling out. And so we have this amazing, wonderful, powerful thing called prayer. Let's not underestimate the power of it. You know, sometimes we say things like, well, I guess we can just only pray about it. As though that was like, you know, kind of the least effective thing you could do. No, that's the best thing that we can do. We can pray about it. I tell people all the time, I told a couple of people this past week with family issues and children that are prodigals, and you know, I just tell them, man, look, pray for them. Just pray for them. They, you know, you can't talk to them. They are not going to listen to you. They don't care anything about what you have to say. But you know what? You can pray for them, and they can't stop you from doing that. You can pray for them and just know that God hears those prayers and that God is at work. So Paul has this confidence that it's through their prayer, and he mentions the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. There's Paul in prison, but look at his attitude. It's a very positive attitude, isn't it? But it's a positive attitude because the Holy Spirit is filling him. The Holy Spirit is ministering to him. And no doubt partially because Paul is looking to the Lord. He's not sitting in the prison going, man, I'm in this prison. This is terrible. Where is God? How come he's allowed me to be here? I thought he loved me. Paul's not doing that. Paul's in the prison just going, well, Lord, here I am. What's your plan in here? And he's seeking the Lord. And God's supplying him with the Spirit. And he's turned his imprisonment, as we saw, he's turned it into a ministry. But he goes on, he says, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. So Paul says, I've got this expectation, but you know, what is the most important? And here's Paul is essentially saying, you know, I'm expecting to be delivered, but that's not the most important thing. The most important thing is that Christ would be magnified in my body. That's the most important thing. And so if more time in prison will bring more glory to Christ, then that's okay with me. That's what the apostles say. And if deliverance from prison will bring more glory to Christ, then amen. I want to be delivered from prison. And if execution will bring more glory to Christ, that's okay with me too. I mean, this is the mentality of the apostle. He just, the bottom line is he wants Christ to be glorified above everything else. And he says this, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. So this is where Paul was at. And this is where, by the grace of God, we need to be as well. We need to be here. Lord, take us there. Help us to be able to say the same thing that Paul said right here. Paul says, for me to live is Christ. There was nothing else in Paul's life that mattered the way Christ mattered. Now, it doesn't mean that there weren't other things in his life that were important. It didn't mean that there weren't other things that he was concerned about or other responsibilities that he might have had to take care of. But in comparison, those things were, they didn't factor in because the overwhelming passion of the heart of Paul was toward Christ. That was what his life was all about. For me to live is Christ. And that's the ideal. That's where God would have us to be. If we were to honestly say what it really is that life is ultimately about for us, if we had to really get down and be absolutely honest and say, for me to live is, what would we say? Would we be able to say, for me to live is Christ? That Christ is ultimately all that matters? That what I want more than anything in life is to know Christ? And what I want more than anything in life is to follow him faithfully and obey him and please him and do his will? That's where the Apostle Paul was. We often look at Paul and we think, man, how did one guy accomplish so many things? Back in a day when, you know, things were not all that easy. Travel was very difficult back at that time, wasn't it? Communication was, it was a very slow process back in those days. But here's a guy who just accomplished so many things, shared the gospel with so many people, saw so many churches established, strengthened and built up Christians through his letters that were sent throughout the empire. How could he do all of this? How could one guy do so much? He could do it because this was his focus. For him to live was Christ. He wasn't preoccupied with all of these other things. And again, of course, part of that was Paul's calling. He was called to be an apostle. He was called to set everything else aside and to just dedicate himself 100% to the Lord. You know, not everybody's called to that kind of a lifestyle. We know that. Some are. A few are. The majority of Christians are not. The majority of Christians are called to live a normal life, to, you know, hold down a regular job, to raise their family and things like that. But even with that, it's still possible to be living for Christ. Say, yes, I do these other things, but I do these things as unto the Lord. When I go off to work, I'm serving Christ. When I come home from work, I'm serving Christ. When I'm relating to my wife, I'm serving Christ. When I'm there with my children, I'm serving Christ. When I'm together with my friends, when I'm doing whatever I'm doing, I'm serving Christ. That's the kind of thing that Paul's talking about. So what would we say? Would we say, for me to live is Christ? Or would we maybe say, well, you know, for me to live is, you know, for some people, it's money. I'm living for money. I'm living to make money. I'm living to become rich. Some people would have to say, well, I'm just, I'm living for pleasure. A lot of people today living for pleasure. They are just looking for the next thing to excite them, the next thing that they think is going to bring them pleasure and some sort of fulfillment. And some people are living for success. Some people are living for recognition. Some people are living for fame. Some people are living for power. And of course, all across the world, those are the kinds of things that people are living for. But sadly, in the church, things are somewhat like that as well. A lot of people in the church who are living for a lot of things, but they're not living for Christ. And so this is Paul's heart. And because to live is Christ, Paul says to die is gain. See, for Paul, dying wasn't a big deal. It was like, man, I'm living for Christ right now. To die, I just get more of Jesus. So to die is gain. To die is not a bad thing in Paul's understanding of things. No, to die was a good thing. And he goes on, he says, but if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. So here's Paul. He's describing this dilemma that he's in. He says, you know, I don't know which one to choose. Now, I think for most of us, we would know which one. Yeah, I'll stick around here a bit longer. You know, it's okay. There's still some things I want to do. But Paul's genuinely, sincerely torn right down the middle. He's like, you know what? Man, I don't know. This is a tough decision. To depart and be with Christ. Oh, that's what it's all about ultimately. And I think in as much as we don't desire to do that, and let's be honest, we don't always desire to do that. And when we do desire it, sometimes it's just selfishly because I'm miserable right now. I just want to depart and be with Christ. But, you know, if everything's going good, we can stick around a bit longer. But if we don't have that deep desire to do that, it just shows that we don't know Christ to the extent that Paul knew him. Paul knew Jesus so deeply that for him to go to that ultimate encounter with him, that was the thing. So I can get out of prison. I can go on living my life. I can go on doing ministry, and that's good, and that would be important and helpful. But man, I could go be with the Lord too. Whoa, I don't know. I'm torn between these two things. But he recognizes that to remain in the flesh will be helpful for them. And so here's where Paul had that sense that he was going to be delivered, that at this point he wasn't going to be executed, and he was even going to be freed from the prison because there was still work to be done and there was still ministry for him to the Philippians as well as other Christians. And so to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And I think that this has happened many times over. I think the Lord has allowed or even in, you know, maybe stronger than allowed, the Lord has said, you know, to some, no, you need to stay here. There have been those that have been, you know, Lord, I just want to go. I just want to be with you. And the Lord's like, no, you know, I need you here for this season. But, you know, once we've accomplished what God has planned for us to do, then it's time to go. It's time to depart and to be with Christ. And so he says, and being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. So he says, you know, this is a possibility, but this is what I sense the Lord is saying. I'm going to be freed. I'm going to continue my ministry with you because that's necessary. You're going to see my face again. He says, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ so that Whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. So he says, you know, this is what I think is going to happen. I like the way Paul's, you know, and this is where you see the humanity here coming through of the apostle. He has a sense that this is what God's doing, but he's not absolutely certain. He says, I'm ready to die, if that's what it takes. If that's how Christ is going to be magnified, I'm ready to do that. And that will be a better thing. But I think that the Lord's going to keep me here. But now he kind of goes back and says, but you know, even if that's not the case, even if I end up still in prison, this is what I think. And my point is this. You know, we don't know a lot of times exactly what the Lord's going to do. We kind of get a feeling, and we think we know. And I think sometimes we maybe know more than at other times, because sometimes the Lord really shows us very clearly. And then other times, it's not so clear. And so we're just kind of, you know, we're kind of going along, and, you know, it's almost like, you know, when you get up at night and you're walking to the bathroom, you know, and you're kind of feeling your way so you don't ram face first into the wall or something. Everything's kind of dark and fuzzy. And sometimes that's how life is as a Christian. I think the Lord's taking me in this direction. You know, I this is what I believe, but just in case, then, you know, whether I make it there or not, you need to make sure your conduct is as becomes the saints. Now, remember a couple years ago, we prayed extensively for our good friend Bob Hoekstra, Pastor Bob. And we prayed for healing for Bob, as many of you will remember. And I had, you know, many conversations with Bob where this very passage was the passage that he was feeling that the Lord was, you know, kind of ministering to him through. He could see that, well, of course, to depart and be with Christ would be better, but he could also see that, you know, he could see a need to be here. He could see that there was still work to be done. He could see that there were things that he had not completed and wanted to be able to follow through and, you know, finish up that ministry. And occasionally him and I would have conversations, and we would talk about, yeah, you know, he was sort of like Paul in that prison, and about the time when the Lord would release him. But you know, that didn't happen that way, did it? Most of you know, Bob went to be with the Lord. But it was very interesting, because right before he passed away, he looked at his family and said, I believe the Lord is showing me that it's not what I thought it was going to be, but I believe the Lord is showing me that he's going to take me home. And it was just a few days later that he actually went to be with Christ, which is a far better thing. Again, that's the thing that we have to understand. Even the Apostle Paul, he doesn't know absolutely for certain that this is going to be the case, but this is what he senses and this is what he feels. And in this particular case, as we pointed out, he was right. But again, he says, you know, if I come, great. But even if I'm absent, even if I'm not delivered as I anticipate to be, he says, let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. Now remember, as I said, Paul had a deep and very close friendship with the Philippians. And there's not any, you know, serious rebuke in this epistle. He doesn't really address with them issues like he does with some of the other churches, with carnality and, you know, sinful behavior and all of that. But there are a few things that surface in the epistle where you can see that there was a little bit of division in this church. There was a little bit of competitiveness with some of the people. And there were just, you know, probably small areas where Paul, realizing, as a pastor would, that they need a little bit of exhortation. And so, although generally speaking, they were doing great, he says, let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. He's just giving them a little word here. You know, make sure you're conducting yourselves properly.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse study of Philippians in our next lesson as Pastor Brian continues with part two of To Live is Christ, To Die is Gain. But right now I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled To Live is Christ, To Die is Gain. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number B0177. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. Pastor Brian would also love to connect with you online, and he can be found at facebook.com/Pastor Brian Broderson. Also on Twitter at twitter.com/Brian Broderson. And for those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And when writing or calling, be sure to ask for a free catalog of available resources from Back to Basics, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archived messages by Pastor Brian or subscribe to our podcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com.
Turn up your radio.
Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.